The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
So my Super Bowl was Tuesday. Me as a Portland Trail Blazer fan. The NBA lottery. It's been a long time since I've paid attention that close. And quickly, just as another side road, is it just me or would we rather see the ping pong balls come out? Because I know I would. Like, there's just something about, like, an Oscar style and the winner of the fifth pick goes to the Orlando Met. Like, I don't like that. There just feels something very sus about that. And I've looked into it. It seems like they've got a whole team of accountants and lawyers and media members ensuring that this thing is legit. But at the end of the day, I need to see the ping pong balls myself. And I need to feel the weight of them in my hands to know that there's not one that's heavier than the other. Transparency, accountability, where is it, folks? Where is it? Anyway, so my team, Portland, we were the sixth worst team this year. And boy, did we try hard for worse. Like, we sat everyone. We couldn't even play Josh Hart. We couldn't play Eric Bledsoe. Like, the amount of fake injuries that we made up for these guys to not play. Like, at one point, what's that kid's name? Keljan Blevins? He couldn't even play. Blevins, the guy that I thought was a fake name, we had to sit him because we were winning games we weren't supposed to be winning. It literally was like four-time 10-day All-Star Drew Eubanks, and, like, of course Anthony Simons wasn't playing. Of course Dame wasn't playing. Of course Nurk wasn't playing. But I'm talking about, like, guys I've never heard before had to be benched for us to get to a place where we could maybe get in the top four. And maybe, hopefully, this is a bridge year for us and we can get back to some level of, not prominence, but, like, whatever, middle of the road innings, you know? Like, we're bad right now. And then, of course, the Pelicans pick didn't convey to us. It ended up going to Charlotte. And then, of course, the L.A. pick that we could have maybe made a backdoor for that went to the Pelicans didn't go to us either. So, one pick, we had a 39% chance of getting in the top four. Almost 40% chance. Almost half. Almost a pick 'em to get in the top four. And I had all the excitement of a little kid on Christmas. Tuesday came, and when they don't do the ping pong thing that goes by fast because they did it pregame of the Miami Heat game one series, and I'm like, yo, that took 7 minutes. Like, what was that? So that took all the air out of my balloon as well. I wanted Paolo, as everyone knows, like, very, very badly I want Paolo. I've had visions of him and Dame. I've seen him up close. He's like Bigfoot. He's so big, so strong, so athletic, so his hops so high. And to my disheartenment, did we get the first pick? No. Did we get the second pick? No. Third pick? This is where it starts, like, getting interesting. No. Fourth pick? Could we just get four? Maybe we just trade up once? No. We get the seventh pick. Seven? And you might say, Trista, Steph Curry went seven. Like, it's not, I don't know that we're getting that. I don't know that we're getting Steph Curry, baby. So, all that resting of guys, all that all of that shame for a pick that might not even help Dame one bit. So, let's recap. I love that Brock needs to take notes on where I cuss because we have to cut these things into segments. Amazing. I literally watch him write them down at f***ery at 5:20. He has to do it again every time I do it. All right, so let's recap where everyone finished and who had the best luck, who had the worst luck. Number one, Orlando Magic. They get the number one pick for the first time in, or for the first time in like 4 years. I mean, they just keep getting the first pick. OKC gets two. The odds of them getting two were like ridiculously low. I think that they should have gotten like the eighth pick, something like that was their highest likelihood. Houston Rockets get the third pick. Sacramento gets the fourth pick. Detroit 5, Pacers 6, Blazers 7, Pelicans 8, Spurs 9, Wizards 10, Knicks 11, Thunder again 12, Charlotte Hornets 13, which should have been our pick, by the way. If it was, by the way, that was supposed to be ours in the 14. I think they might have two. Never mind. I think they got the 15 from Pelicans. Carry on. And the Cleveland Cavaliers at 14. I almost got mad there. All right. So, to me, the low-key biggest winner's got to be one, OKC. They're going to get somebody that's going to change the franchise again after they got after they got last year when they ended up taking Josh Giddey at 6, which ended up being a very good pick. But I think they thought they would be 1, 2, or 3. I think they thought they might get Evan Mobley, which could have helped them tremendously. Then you get the Pelicans. They end up getting a good pick by getting the Lakers pick in the AD trade, which I think was going to go to them outside of the top four, something like that. Sacramento, they get incredible luck, even though we know that they're just going to mess it up. We know that. Like, they had the fifth worst record. They get the number four pick, even though they had only a 30% chance of getting the top four. We had a 40% chance. They had a 30% chance. Teams that got screwed, of course, me. Of course, Blazers, number one. Pretty much the only one that I can make note of. No, but truthfully, Detroit also, they had the first best odds for a top four spot, and they get five. So, that's screwed. Wizards get the 10th spot. You see Wes Unseld looking just furious. He's just so mad. Stoic, but like, God damn it, I just don't even know. Agitated. It would be kind of the way to describe it. So yeah, I would say that that's kind of like where the cookie crumbles. You've got Portland, Detroit, and Washington getting screwed. Best pickups, best lottery luck, OKC, Sacramento, and Pelicans. I did a quick little early impression mock, which we'll speed through because I've done a little mocking up to my pick. 1 through 7 mocking. Early impressions, I think Orlando takes Chet. It makes the most sense for them. I think he fits more with them than somebody like Jabari Smith does for a variety of different reasons. I think him and Franz Wagner would work very well together. I'm not necessarily sure how they would want to use Jabari versus how they want to use somebody like Chet. They need a center. They don't have very good centers. They're off on Mo Bamba. They're off on Jonathan Isaac. I think Chet plays more versatile role with the roster that they currently have. And I do know that he's not slated to be the number one overall consensus pick. I think Jabari is. I think Jabari is minus 110. I think Chet is plus 140. So I think that's the first upset to me. Feels like an upset. I think OKC takes Jabari. Presti says he wants this team to have the ability to create a new defensive identity that pushes them to be more physical in the future to accomplish this. That, to me, sounds like if Chet is taken, they're going to go for a pesky perimeter defender to pair with Lu Dort. We know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doesn't like to play a lot of defense, so they got to get another guy on the perimeter to do so. Going to be a toss-up, but I like Jabari if he's going to be available. Houston, I think they trade back. I don't think they take that pick. I don't think they want Paolo, even though I would. I would take Paolo in an instant. And maybe, just maybe, they'd be interested in trading with Portland for the third pick. I don't know. Like, they are a team that is constantly rebuilding. They're a team that's just like, I think random scouts have come on the record recently and say that Houston might be the worst place to be drafted by an organization if you're a new pick, because they're just a dumpster fire. They have no organizational credibility. They're, again, a team that is not built very effectively, and they're a bunch of young gunners that are fun but probably aren't going to win a lot of games anytime soon. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong because they're fun. But doesn't that sound perfect for Anthony Simons? Like, to me, that sounds exactly like what Anthony Simons. Who cares you have two other Anthony Simons and Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr.? I don't care. That sounds like a fun little experiment to me. Sacramento Kings. Doesn't it seem like to you, for the fourth time in 5 years, they'll take another guard? Like, let's try it again. Why not? We know that Davion may or may not have worked out. We know we took Tyrese Halliburton and we traded him for Domantas. But, like, let's do the Jaden Ivey thing. Let's do that. Who knows? Like, I know that Jaden Ivey's perfect. How do I know he's perfect for Sacramento? One, he folds up in big-time moments, and he's never going to receive big-time moments in the future because he's going to be playing for Sacramento. You're never going to need to have any of the expectations that you will need going to a place like, I don't know, Indiana. Indiana's going to want you to be the next Malcolm Brogdon, and Malcolm Brogdon, sir, you are not. God, I hope I don't regret saying that. Detroit team, very fun, very long, very rangy. Troy Weaver is a good evaluator of talent. I think he's going to do what the Toronto Raptors did and surprise some people with the fifth pick. Even before the ping pong balls came out, he said, listen, I'm happy with five if I get five. There's not a three-person draft for me. There's a lot of value out there that I like. And you're like, that kind of scares me. Like, what do you know that I don't know? He said, I don't see it as a big three. I think that there are tremendous players all along the board. We're going to pick the best player for us, and I think that he's going to come and work out for us. I don't see a scenario where we don't get the guy we want. What kind of cojones is that? You got the fifth pick, and you don't see any scenario? Who are they going to get? Maybe Shaedon Sharpe? Feels like that's a possibility. There's reports that they might go after Keegan Murray, but I don't see why they would do that, other than the fact that he's quote-unquote NBA ready. He doesn't feel like a pick for Detroit. But my pick for chaos, because I don't even know what Indiana would do if Keegan Murray's not there, my pick for chaos is them taking Keegan Murray. Quickly, Indiana must move their pick if Keegan's not there, because there's no shot in hell that I looked at the notepad again to make sure that it's okay. I think that one's okay. If Keegan's not there, there's no way they take Shaedon Sharpe. Like, is Shaedon Sharpe, like a kid who wouldn't even play 1 year at Kentucky, decided to do one and done without doing the one? And, like, he's going to go into the draft after just sitting on the bench for Coach Cal? Do you see him being an Indiana Pacer, one of the most conservative, like, low-paying franchises with a guy running the company, like, owning the franchise that's, like, 90? No! Shaedon Sharpe is not an Indiana Pacer. If they were to take him, I mean, didn't it make perfect sense when they went out and got Chris Duarte? Like, high pedigree, older, immediate impact, light-skinned. Indiana, man. They've got a type. I ain't got no type. They do, though. They do. Portland, this is where it gets interesting for me. I've come to terms. I've come to Jesus with who I think we will take. I think we're going to take Benedict Mathurin from Arizona. Benedict Mathurin is 6'6". Benedict Mathurin can score at all different levels. He can defend. He's got a pretty long wingspan. He can immediately contribute. John Hollinger has Benedict Mathurin as the number five best player in the draft. I think he's a sleeper. I loved him when he played at Arizona. He pops off the screen. He's a very hard-working guy who shows up in huge. If Sacramento was smart, they would take Benedict Mathurin at four. They would trade back and they would take him at four. But they're not smart, so we know we won't do that. Another side pick would be, if he's available, a Shaedon Sharpe. That feels like another Anthony Simons, long scorer, different levels. He can actually play defense, unlike Anthony. I'd be interested to see what he would look like with Dame. He's pretty big. I think he's 6'6", 6'7", as well. Or possibly Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. Johnny Davis, he's a guy who can get it in the mid-range. He's not like a Brandon Roy, but he kind of moves like Brandon Roy, like molasses, but like just shifty enough where he gets open. I like him. He's a high IQ player. He can defend. Like, he's known for his defense. You see where I'm going with this, Blazers? Get somebody who can guard more than a parked car, please. Gonna be very, very interesting to see what happens at the combine and the pre-draft process. As we know, nothing is set. And like the NFL draft was, it's completely wide open. Let's move forward really quickly and talk about this recent tea on my man DeAndre Jordan. No, he hasn't been relevant since 2012. Let's talk about the recent tea on my man DeAndre Ayton, DA. Right now, most people who love hoops know that there was some kind of scuffle or to-do going on in Game 7 of the Suns-Mavs series, right? Between Monty Williams and Ayton. Skip Bayless, like I said in the last episode, reported that Lil Wayne, crazy that he and Lil Wayne are actually friends, where they text, like, there's a world, Skip Bayless and Lil Wayne are friends. Just think about that for a second, really quick. Anyway, according to sources named Lil Wayne, who was at the game, he told him that he watched courtside what happened between Monty and Ayton. And Ayton was like, I'm not going back in. And then Monty yelled at him, you're quitting on us. You quit on our team. And the two were screaming at each other and had to be broken up. Trouble in paradise, baby. Yikes. Yikes. Ugly outcome from an ugly game. And for sure, we know that Ayton didn't play at all in the closeout game, really, getting under 20 minutes. Full disclosure, because I'm about to give my bias here, I've had my Twitter bio for a long time. I recently took it out. DeAndre Ayton deserves to be maxed out. I am very clear. I've never done that for a player before. DeAndre Ayton deserves all the money. He is so underrated. I am an Ayton fan. I think he's top five best center in the league. I think he's being used completely out of the realm of reason. And it's probably the best thing that could have ever happened to DeAndre Ayton fans, because maybe you can, like, get him in a way that you never were going to be able to. Number one overall pick. He's been a phenom since he's been 15 years old. I've watched him play up close when he was 15, 16, 17 years old. And the Suns have just used him like some scrub role player. Like, you're not Clint. He's not Clint Capella. Okay, like DeAndre Ayton can play face up to the basket. He can tween. He can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot mid-range. He can shoot the three. He can go up and under. DeAndre Ayton has moves. He can spin. He's not Embiid. So I'm not going to say he's Embiid, but he can do a lot of the things that Embiid can do. He's not as big as Embiid, dominant as Embiid, but he's got really good footwork. He's a hard worker. And when he thinks you believe in him, as we a lot as society feel like, if we feel you have our back and you believe in us, we're going to work so much harder, right? And as soon as the Suns didn't max him out, he was basically like, I mean, you'll get me in the good times and not in the bad times. And that's fair. And, like, they've used him as a rim roller, as a guy who sets screens and gets Devin Booker and Chris Paul open. He maybe gets a random lob here or there. If he gets 30, it's because it happened by happenstance, not by design. He gets putbacks and rebounds. He's just like a solid, solid role player who could be, in my opinion, a star. Shaq decided he wanted to weigh in on the Ayton stuff. So let's quickly talk about that, if that's still allowed.
And that's all he would say. Shed no more light on why DeAndre Ayton played so little in Game 7.
If I'm Sarver, the kid did it the respectful way. Me, I'm different. Oh, you're not going to pay me? All right, don't worry about it. He didn't complain. He made one statement about it, and he played his tail off. Played like a true big man. Get a kid what he want. You got other people talking about signing four for 270. They don't deserve it. Get his kid what he wants. Had a great year. Just one of those nights tonight. Phoenix had a great year. Just one of those nights tonight. This is a classy organization. It's a classy team. Can't say bad things about them. They play it hard. It's just, listen, again, even great players have one of those nights. I've been in 20 years. I probably had 15 where it just couldn't go.
15 what?
15 times where, you know, it just wasn't going.
Oh, you had way more, y'all, more than 15.
Well, I still got four rings.
You played bad more than 15 times. you talking about?
BS.com.
Don't tell me you ain't have 15 bad games in 20 years?
Yes, 15 bad games.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Chuck, let me tell you something.
I don't get that.
Wait, why don't you believe that?
Give the man what he wants. Give him what he wants. So I decided I would go through, and so this is no shade to people who are currently getting paid. I just want to say that. For everyone currently getting paid, you are getting paid what you deserve. You got what you got, your agents did their job, and you accepted it. But I decided to go through the top 40 salaries and ask myself, would I rather have this player for this money or DeAndre Ayton right now? And it will surprise you. I would rather have Ayton over half of the top max guys currently playing in the NBA right now. Steph Curry, obviously, no. James Harden, yes. John Wall, yes. Russell Westbrook, yes. Kevin Durant, no. LeBron, no. Giannis, no. Lillard, maybe. Age, durability, ball dominance. Kawhi Leonard, no. Paul George, maybe. Maybe. He gets hurt a lot, too. He's not always available, and his mind's not always available. Klay Thompson, probably not, so no. Jimmy Butler, no. Tobias Harris, hell yes. Chris Middleton, no. Anthony Davis, yes. Rudy Gobert, yes. Kyrie Irving, maybe. Bradley Beal, yes. Pascal Siakam, yes. Ben Simmons, absolutely yes. That's a lot of yeses for DeAndre Ayton. I mean, there's barely any no's. I paused for a long time when it came to Dame when I first thought about it. And I have to admit, as much as I love Dame, I would probably trade him for Ayton in a heartbeat because I don't trust his health. He's 32 years old. He's had an abdominal injury. That does not go away. That's not like a tweak of an ankle. And I think you could probably build a more versatile roster around DeAndre right now. And I'm not saying that they should trade Dame. I want everyone to know who's listening to the podcast. I'm not advocating for that, so do not say that. But if you could get Ayton for Dame and 4 first-round picks or something, I would think about it. I would think about it. James Jones thinks that the GM for the Suns thinks that the rift can be healed, he said. DeAndre had an amazing season. He's progressed every year. He's been here, so he's a big part of what we do. Doesn't sound all that enthused. His future with us is something that we will address at the proper time. The time, James, is last summer. He's a free agent, and I've said all along he's about the same things, what we're about, which is winning. We'll address it at the proper time. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. What's the proper time? When the league comes out and says Robert Sarver must sell the team. It's very hard to get a guy into a max contract, put yourself into a luxury tax situation, and then, okay, you're selling the team to someone, they're like, yo, you guys are paying $170 million in roster right now? I have to pay what in luxury tax? Oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. So, yeah, I see that there's a lot of complexity here, but that's not DeAndre Ayton's job. His job is to get paid what he deserves and to get as much money as he can. So I tell you what, Portland is salivating for him right now. We have a max spot open. We've made the time. We've cleared the space. Relinquish rights to whoever for DeAndre Ayton. I don't know how him and Dame are going to work, but I know Dame's on the tail end and DeAndre is on the up end. So it's going to be fascinating. Game 7 in the Valley disaster is going to have long-term ramifications. And if you get Ayton in the West, you've removed some strengths from your competitor in the West as well as added. So, going to be awesome. It's going to be interesting. Either he's going to get his max money or he's walking. That's pretty much it. There's no in-between. It's not going to be a scenario where you're like, oh, DeAndre Ayton took a team-friendly deal. That is off the table, folks. And that will change everything for the Suns if he is out driving.